do the intro. No one knows.
Trigger warning. This is the Free Speech Broadcasting Podcast. A mile above sea level of intergalactic thirst. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses.
Aurelius?
That's a flower. Yo, don't get in my face. Rejuvenate.
You don't have money to kick my butt.
You can't afford the bus fare to get some Casper. Yes. But Freedom Pizza is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anybody except governments, government agents, especially the Department of Fish and Wildlife. The Freedom Fiends remind you that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Hillary Clinton is a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit stinks. Bernie Sanders is a liar, a socialist, and he smells like Tinkle, but also mothballs. It's a sprightly mix. And
but he's a democratic socialist who smells like
Tinkle. It's a manly scent, but I like it too.
Yep. It smells like James. The pine of a hard day's work tilling the fields.
Yeah, and your name is Steve Ween. We're the Trigger Weens. I'm Dean Ween. We got Jimmy Ween, pure pork sausage over there, and Jeremy Ween.
That's me.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
hey, did you guys hear about Bernie got evidently in the 70s was kicked out of a commune because he refused to do any work?
Is that true?
I kid you not. That's a real story I read.
I have a theory that everyone who says workers of the world unite has never done a day's work in their life, generally.
Yeah.
So it goes. Speaking of socialists, I had quite the experience today, which is why.
Hang on a sec. I'm here to introduce this new thing that James Babb and I are thinking of starting. It's a new fundraising site. Instead of Kickstarter, it's going to be Kickassstarter. It's going to be in conjunction with the Rumbler app. And Kickassstarter is going to be to raise money for internet tough guys to travel to get in fights with the people they safely say, I'd beat you up when they live too far away to afford a bus ticket. And I think this is really
going to solve trolling problems on the internet. Yeah. I think this could actually fix the problem with those relentless trolls that just never quit. Finally, we'll have the means to make sure that they get their faces punched.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think that this could help several faltering industries. The bus industry isn't doing that well anymore because nobody goes anywhere because they just yell at each other over the internet now and, you know, live video stream their Thanksgivings and don't show up. So I think that Greyhound should offer like a kick anybody's butt in America for $99.
Yeah, you could just ride the bus all summer long, tour the country, you know, kicking just get butt. On and off as you need to.
For $129 for 3 months.
Exactly. And of course, it's all consensual. Yeah. And that's what makes it great. We're not saying you should go to somebody's house and terrorize them or threaten them.
No.
But for it's people that finally need to resolve
it. Come on, man.
The trolling just went on for so long, it's time to throw down.
There should be a government initiative for this called Fists Across America.
Fists Across America. Man, you have some cultural references I don't think you're old enough to have. I think Steve says he's 33 and he looks 33, but I think he's actually like 60. Because I was just a kid when they had Hands Across America, and I'm 52. How do you even know it? I'll fight you right now, Steve. Right now. Come to Casper, Wyoming right now.
Get on the bus.
Get on the bus and take acid night.
So here's what inspired this today.
Okay, but the guy that's going to beat you up, I think you should just give him, and this is like, you have to have listened to last night's show, I think you should just give him a bus ticket to Georgia and my ID and send him to Georgia. And he'll get thrown in prison for 99 1/2 years. Because, you know, that guy who told me that guy's dead, but his like 14 teenage grandsons are at all the borders and all the trail, the Greyhound bus stations in Georgia with shotguns and handcuffs waiting for me still. All right.
What bounty hunters?
Show me on the doll where the internet touched you, Steve. Oh, wait, one more thing and then I'll shut up because I'm only talking for a segment. Travis McQuigley won the meme contest. And that's the second, like he won the flag. He won the ANCAP BIPCOT black and yellow flag that only two exist so far. And And he won, like, last month, he won the digital camera. So he's won too many prizes with his dank memes. He can no longer enter the Fiends contest. He's going to be a judge.
He's too good. He's too good, right.
So our free market show has taken out somebody for being too good.
Too good, yes. Yeah. We're gonna level the playing field and make it fair for the people who aren't quite as good with the memes.
We pick winners and losers.
We do. Well, no, it's kind of like, it's a pro thing. Like, you said it really well. It'd be like if we all lived on the same cul-de-sac and had pickup basketball games, and one of the guys that lived on the cul-de-sac was a, you know, retired NBA player. It wouldn't really work that well.
Right, and like, and I'm in a wheelchair, you know, or something. Yeah. You know, like...
Yeah, Steve Miller really thought I was dead today because I didn't tag him till like 1 p.m. his time. Huh.
Yeah, it was a very low tag kind of day. I thought you were having a bad lung day or something, or maybe
When I have a bad lung day, I tag you more.
Your tagging hand got cramped
because I can't do anything but sit in a chair and be on the internet. I can't, you know. If I'm having a good lung day, I'm out, like, you know, I don't know, doing household chores and stuff. So, or I'm in the living room on watching TV, and I'm on my chromed robot turd, which is harder to tag you on because it's new to me and I don't understand this technology of you youngsters.
At sign. That's how you tag someone.
At sign. See, okay.
I'll probably live to regret that.
But, you will. Thanks. Okay. I gotta go. Tell me what happened. Who beat you up? Who wants to beat you up?
So there. Anyway, long story short, there's this famed internet troll, Dominic Vietti. Dominic, if you're listening, I bless your grind. He trolls flat earthers and like Illuminati conspiracy.
Everybody's
people.
Trolling flat earthers. None of the people
it's
really
such low hanging fruit. It's hardly trolling each other.
Anyway, he's masterful at it, and I really enjoy him. Anyway, he got banned because
James Babb? Hang on a sec. James Babb say, didn't you come up with that theory? I believe that theory that nobody really believes in a flat earth. They're all trolls and don't know it.
Yeah, and they're just trolling each other, trying pretending to be flat earthers, because nobody could really be that idiotic.
That is way too optimistic of a view of human nature. Absolutely not. You're both wrong.
I mean, and I've ridden SEPTA. I mean, I understand.
There's people who don't believe planes hit the World Trade Center. Like, do you understand that? Like, come on now. Like,
there's video of James arguing with one of them, or was that about chemtrails, that thing at Porkfest, where the guy's like pointing the rifle at everybody behind you and doesn't realize it.
Oh, yeah, and everyone is like ducking for cover and because they can see him and I can't. They're like
that's, you know, that video has like a million views, like 200,000 views or something. The first 2,000 are because it's a pretty good debate with James, but the other 100,000 views are because everyone just can't believe what an idiot this gorilla with a rifle is being behind you. Like, do I point this at? Yeah.
Well, luckily, I don't think he's come back to Porkfest. I think I think maybe he got the message that, you know, and when, you know, I mean, Porkfest is generally, you know, I would say a great place to see good gun etiquette. I think most people are extremely responsible.
I don't know about that. I told you about the guy that was sweeping. What our favorite lady, what's her name? The mother of the Silk Road, Ross's mom. I watched a guy sweep her with a loaded weapon. Yeah. And told him to stop. And he also swept that canvas tent that had that lady making coffee, Cassandra.
See, all it takes is one person to put people in extreme danger. There could be like 999 people, you know, having proper etiquette and a couple loonies. And, you know, it's terrible.
Shows up and it just brings down the curve for everybody.
You know, at some point, though, that one guy you were mentioning, though, like we were kind of thinking, like, I guess somebody needs to go disarm him. Like, you really kind of have to at a certain point where, like, these people, you know, it's just these guys can't be here, you know, doing that.
I think it worked. I hope.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know why we're talking about gun etiquette suddenly.
All right. Yeah. So we're bringing a gun to a fist fight here. Let's.
So I express my disdain for the fact that he got this guy banned. And he gets into an argument with me. I create some memes because that's how I defend myself.
Bringing a gun to a meme fight. There's the show name.
Yeah. Yep. And he starts fighting with me, and it starts off, I have a right to defend myself, so I'm going to report people to Facebook if I want. And he's one of these people where if if his argument doesn't work the first time, he'll just say it with more expletives a second time.
It's like when you're talking to people that don't speak English, you just yell at them. It's like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
It's kind of the way the progressive left works, right?
Well, that's where this guy's from.
Just shout louder and until somebody gives you the respect you feel you deserve.
Yeah. F you, Steve. The accusations made against me were false. Someone has the audacity to put accusations of me above page. I'm going to report them because that is harassment. And on this goes. And eventually it ends with him saying, well, I'm going to punch you in your effing face. I'm going to punch your effing face in. And I say, well, come to Kensington. Come on up here. Express your desire to get into a fight. And, you know, I'm sure you'll find a willing party. Just come on up and just start beating people until you get to me. come on up. You're so
dumb. What'd he say?
And he goes, okay, great, I'm going to do this Thursday night. I'm like, you're unemployed. Like, what else are you doing? Like, you might as well come.
He hits his check in. Wednesday, probably.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
He's like, well, listen. So then I go downtown because I'm going to the gym, which is irrelevant. But anyway, I go downtown and I get out of the gym. I check my phone and I have a text message from him. And the text message, which I will read for the audience of Freedom Fiends, says,
ba-dum-bum-bum-ba-dum. You've never tagged, like, you never share the show. I'm wondering, are you going to tag him in, share the show and tag him in this?
I think I might.
I knew it. That's why you're doing this.
I want to change the
song. You're like, I'm right on radio. I will beat you in front of 10,000 people on the radio. That's cool. I like to be able to do that, too. I don't fight with people on the internet. I just make fun of them on radio.
I want to change the site. Getting to Kensington would cost more money than I would want to spend.
He's not in Casper. He's in Philly, right? Like, we're not talking a Greyhound.
So it's like a whole, wait a minute. That would be one subway token. Okay, yes. That's a whole token, I believe the exchange rate is good for one slice of pizza or a third of a hit of crack. Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Used to be a half. Yeah. It's now a third. Price went up.
Well, it's inflation.
Yeah.
All right. But after this trip to the market, we'll hear how the free market is going to make Kick-Ass Starter a great site.
It's going to. I would pay.
Yeah. I'll buy this guy.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Bernie Sanders.
So we're back here on the Facebook fight. This
kind of seems like the Freedom Fiends is sort of just like Facebook put on the radio for some reason. Like,
well, sad.
Is that all we are?
This guy says he's gonna come to my ghetto and he's gonna fight me. And then I leave the gym, and I see a text message that says, "Hey, it would cost me too much in bus fare to get up to your neighborhood. Can you come to South Philly?" Which shows how passionate you are about this beating you're going to administer, right? Like, man, I'm going to go beat you, and I'm going to beat you so bad that I'm willing to sit here at home and wait for you to show up to collect your beating.
Well, I think he's offering you a chance to punch him in the face. I think he's thinking you're going to enjoy this as much as he will. Right?
It's possible. A videographer volunteered his services.
And then we're going to put it on YouTube, monetize it, and boom. You know, this could be awesome. It could be like a new career.
Right. And what is your business that you have planned, Jim? Tell the people about this.
You mean the kick-ass starter that we've already covered? Correct.
Yeah, that.
Okay. Right. Well, the kick-ass starter, which we mentioned earlier, is kind of like a Kickstarter, but it's a way to help internet trolls come together in real life when they might not be able to afford a Subway token otherwise. Right, so it's going to provide these it's going to allow these people to come out of their mother's basement. They're going to have to face the light, and they're going to have to get on a subway or a bus, and they're going to have to ride across town.
You
might not have to
do that. You could probably do it at nighttime if you wanted to go get a beating.
Like, oh, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, if this guy wanted to come to Kensington right now, I would go beat him right now.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, right. So we're going to do this. So the kick-ass starter is going to create it's like a GoFundMe or Kickstarter, but it's to specifically to enable this. And so, you know, like this poor guy, he's obviously frustrated. He really wants to, you know, he's been trolled so hard on the internet. He's ready to explode. He has to do something. He's going to punch somebody, right? So why not let internet trolls meet one another, you know, in real time, sort of like the Rumbler app, you know, we had discussed in previous shows. The Rumbler app allows people that want to fight to come together, kind of like Tumblr. Anyway, I think we can make it work. So you're going to be, I guess, the sort of the first customer.
I would donate so much money, especially if you were getting. So I think what would make Kick-Ass Starter a rousing success is if you had donor-only videos of the fights. So, you know, you get the people.
They get the special unedited versions. Yeah,
right. Like you wear a GoPro to your fight, and only the
like multiple GoPros. You know how sometimes they have GoPros like sticking out like porcupine quills. You know, like, yeah. I mean, like literally, like I've seen like three or four, six GoPros attached to somebody's head. That might be. I don't know. Yeah.
If you get assailed by one of these people, the first thing you do is you aim for their GoPro, not their face, so that you really stick it to their donors first, and then you worry about fighting them.
Well, I think they're pretty rugged, so I think I'll be all right.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you know we have Nick Hazelton back with us. Nick, are you out there?
I am here.
The anarcho-yakapitalist.
Yep, that's me.
All right. Yeah, what can we get a yak update?
Yeah, I mean I think I said that the yak came back and everything is going very smoothly. There have not been any issues on the farm. We actually had a litter of pigs, which is always fun.
It's very unusual for yaks.
Yeah. It is.
But tell me more.
No, we really had to. One of my pig sows had a litter of five, and they're all healthy and running around.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's always fun when that happens. And that means that I have some guaranteed income them alive.
At least some bacon year. Or pork chops, yeah.
That's right, yeah. So that's always fun. But other than that, I guess we sold most of the yak meat we had at market, so we're making some money. And that's always fun.
Cool.
Yeah,
I love it. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Do you have your own Open Bazaar store to sell yak meat on?
Mm-mm. I don't think I do. I've heard of Open Bazaar, but I've not really looked into it.
It's so easy to use. It's software you run on your computer, and it basically gives you an online store. It's Bitcoin only, and it runs right on your own computer, or you can put it on like a hosting. If it got like really busy and you wanted to always have it up, you could put it on hosting. But I don't know. I'm just starting to check it out. So I think you definitely want to get that going on. So people can buy yak and baby pigs for Bitcoin.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I'll have to look into that. I think
when you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms. Fighting, that violates the non-aggression principle.
I think that was a voluntary exchange between Steve and the other person. They're both agreeing to fight, aren't they? It's a duel.
I'll fight you right now, Nick. I'll come to Methden, Oregon. I'll hit you with my oxygen tank. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I don't know. I think someday when Nick is the emperor of the world, we're going to all wish we'd dealt with him back when he was squishable.
That's right.
See, it's your tormenting him that's going to drive him to become a supervillain. Okay.
Oh, the whereas chicken or the egg. Come on, man.
Where if we treat him with kindness, we can, you know, he'll use his powers for good.
No, he
like
won't.
He is doing.
He told me he wants to run the world.
That's right.
You know, I just saw this picture. Did you see these pictures of these those like robots? What is it? Boston Dynamics, or you know the company I'm talking about that makes these like really interesting.
They're owned by Google, aren't they?
Well, this one was like a biped, okay, fully autonomous, and it was lifting boxes, okay. And then the guy comes along and he's like knocks the box out of its hand, you know, and then like pushes it with a stick. And I'm like, you're tormenting these robots. This is
all the videos.
This is going to be the evidence against humanity.
It's like animal abuse. They're kicking robot dogs over. Boston Dynamics is owned by Google X, which is part of Google. So, you know, what is it? I've seen that meme. 1998, Google's motto was "Don't be evil." You know, 2004, it was "Evil is hard to define." In 2010, it was "We make robots for the military."
It's just the next logical step, right?
And they're kicking them. They are tormenting. I haven't really thought
about it. But it really just seemed like, wow, it looks like they're really just trying to be mean to these things. And I'm
I know.
And they're trying to put AI in them. I don't know why. I just found that disturbing.
They're trying to put AI in them at the same time. That's not a good combination, man.
Yeah, they're trying to provoke an emotional rage response from their robot. You know, like, come on. That's not the research you really should be doing.
Well, yeah, they're just building RoboCop. They're just building a RoboCop that can be abused without, violating its prime directive, which is just to kill everybody, put them in cages.
Right. It'll have, the RoboCop of the future, though, its specialty will be asset forfeiture. It'll have Bitcoin sensors built in and it can fly in like a drone and like sense your valuables and report back to the mothership.
Yeah. So, Nick,
I don't know.
What did Bernie Sanders do to you? Show me on the doll where Bernie Sanders touched you.
Well, I don't think Bernie Sanders has ever touched me personally, but there's a recent article actually came out earlier today from Free Beacon. It's been passed around actually a few times, it seems. I saw a few of them when I looked this up.
You've been passed around by Bernie supporters? I thought you were saving yourself for Porkfest. We're going to auction you off and give the money to antiwar.com. That's none of your business. It really isn't.
Continue.
I believe Lou is still planning on that. He threatened me with filthy about
Lou.
That.
Yeah, Lou has it out for you. Lou knows that you're gonna kill him and eat his corpse and make love to his woman in front of the whole pride.
He's really my only opponent here on my
on your rise.
Domination. Yeah.
I'm backing Nick. I'm fully backing
emperor.
Nick.
That's good. That's really
nice. When Nick rises to power, I want to be remembered as the one that was like, "Yeah, remember me? You know, like I was on your side, Nick."
I, for one, welcome our yak overlords.
But anyway,
Nick Hazelton for world emperor. Okay, libertarian emperor. Go on. Woo-hoo. I'm putting that in the show notes.
So, I pulled this up in this article about Bernie Sanders, and it's called Bernie Sanders was asked to leave hippie commune for shirking a book claim.
That's for what? Shirking what?
For shirking, and then comma,
not working.
Yeah.
Book claims. So there's this, I guess there's this book being written that's coming out soon about Myrtle Hill Farm.
Myrtle Hill. That was my favorite hippie commune, Myrtle Hill.
I think
this place had a geodesic dome residence with an outhouse called the Richard M. Nixon Memorial Hall. So this was 1971. Okay, so imagine where Bernie's hairline was at this time. Okay, it was like I'd say somewhere around 10 o'clock. Okay, so
dude, he looks exactly like Woody Allen when he was like 25. Mm-hmm. Except he doesn't have red hair. Have you noticed that like 4 of the 15 fiends have red hair? That's higher than the national average. There's Lisa, Jim, MK. Maybe there's only 3, but even so, 3
Dan.
Of 15.
Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 4. That's there's something wrong with the fiends. Too many redheads.
Possible gingers. Yeah.
Gingers. I know. We need to test them for DNA. So Bernie Sanders, I'm looking at this. Yeah, I wonder if this was the commune my sister took me to, northeast Vermont. Nah, she took me to one that was in White River Junction, which is right across the river from.
This was like a free love kind of thing.
This was too.
Yeah. And
I went places I shouldn't go with my family when I was about 12, and smoked pot with them. Yeah.
So evidently, Bernie was doing some kind of research into like natural childbirth. And so he was like witnessing where these like hippies are chanting and stuff, and several of the possible fathers were gathered round.
Was it one of these places where like the free love was centrally planned with a chore wheel? This is a thing, okay? This
chore wheel. Like,
there were free love
with like actual punishments for disobedience, probably.
Yeah, like you sleep with you on this night, and you sleep with you on this night, like an actual chore wheel. Yeah,
that's funny. Anyway, but this thing lasted. This commune lasted into the 80s. But according to this book, the free love turned off like a faucet
when they all turned 60, or what?
It says the commune was ultimately a casualty of the war on drugs. One of its residents, Jed, ran a sophisticated marijuana grow operation.
Jed.
Gee, big surprise. Anyway, they found $250,000 of marijuana, a small arsenal of weapons, bulletproof vest, machete, gas mask, and fully loaded Uzi.
Nice.
So, yeah. Anyway, it sounds like a cool place, right? Like,
yeah. Except for
like
the
Bernie should have stayed there.
The sexual chore wheel. Centrally planning free love, man.
So unfortunately they had to ask him to leave. So they're like, are you going to start helping out, or are you out of here? Yeah, he wasn't doing the chore wheel. So but he wanted to sit around and talk about politics instead of working, evidently.
Well, most people that scream workers of the world unite have never done a day of work in their life. That's been my experience.
I like what Carl Hess said, workers of the world disperse. I thought that's like a great way of countering that.
Yeah.
Disperse. Yeah. Anyway, so some guy in a book says this is true. Why do I automatically completely believe everything in this article? Is there confirmation bias going on, or am I wrong here? Should I be more skeptical?
Are you looking at Gateway Pundit or something else? What are you looking at? Which article are you looking at, James?
Oh, the Bernie Sanders. The Bernie, you know, asked to leave this hippie commune.
On what? It's on several places. Yeah. Which source are you looking
at? Oh, I was looking at freebeacon.com.
Is that Boston's paper? I think that's the Boston mainstream paper, isn't it?
It's not the Boston Globe.
Beacon Hill?
Anyway.
Oh, you know what today is?
Who cares?
Today's the anniversary of the first shot of the Revolutionary War, which, you know, I'm not a big, you know, whatever of that, but... The interesting thing about that is
there's inside a job. I bet it was an inside job.
There's a theory that it is, and it's the
false
theory,
flag.
You know, what they always teach you in grade school is that the noble American side didn't fire until the British did. Like it was self-defense. Like as soon as the British fired, the Americans fired back. But there's actually a theory that Sam Adams fired the first shot and took it as a sniper shot, hiding in a second floor of a nearby boarding house. And that theory was taught to me at an Appleseed riflemanship class. Have you ever taken one of those? Either of you guys?
No, but I'd like to. I've heard a lot about them.
They're great. They're great. Yep. And kids are welcome too.
So wait. So Sam Adams was a sniper,
brewer, patriot, and sniper. That's what it should say. On
drunken,
the beer bottle.
Drunken traitor, and murderer,
poop starter. Yeah,
depending on your perspective. But you know what? This is why Professor CJ is so amazing, because if you listen to his podcast, he gives you such a deep perspective on those times that it's instead of this like cartoonish history that we were taught in school.
Yeah. Ben Stone does that too. Have you heard any of Ben Stone's history podcasts?
Oh man. Good. Yeah.
They're great.
It's incredible. Yeah. Just keeps you on the edge of your seat, you know, just just really brings you in.
if you want to be banned from ever getting invited, like if you're one of those people that goes home for Thanksgiving and doesn't really want to, just play a Ben Stone historical Thanksgiving podcast about how the Pilgrims were evil and Christopher Columbus was evil and all that for your family, and they'll never invite you back. You'll be safe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, what they're used to hearing about that from like Violet and Dorothy. So I don't even need a Ben Stone podcast in my household.
Yeah, what's like the rest of your extended family think of you? Are they Liberty people or they normies?
They're Christian conservative Bible Belt types, and and they just kind of roll their eyes, and we just there's just certain things we don't talk about.
My dad's a Christian conservative constitution lover, and my siblings are all like somewhere to the left of Bernie Sanders. It's an interesting— I don't go home for Thanksgiving ever. Never will. Never, never, never. I told you at the time, didn't I, James, that I was in the hospital on Thanksgiving, accidentally cut myself preparing a turkey?
We're gonna that sounds... yeah. Let's get a hashtag ready. No, I don't think I've ever heard that one. Did it ruin the turkey?
When we get back from the trip to the market,
with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends,
you'll hear about it.
Yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Oh yeah,
we're on here.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm calling all fiends. If any fiends want to join the show, drop me an email. So let's talk about families and Thanksgiving. And what is it they say on Death Clock? Families is the peoples that you hate. That's what Squizgar Squigelf says. And he does a liner on the fiends. He does a use them's listenings to the Freedom Fiends, and I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
It is a great little snippet.
Yeah, you don't even know the show.
It has so much personality and character in that, yep, that one line.
And then the other one from the singer in that band, this is Nathan Explosion, worms. That guy's funny. Yep. That was when we interviewed the guy who does all the voices on that and created it. He made those. So, yeah, families is the peoples that you hate. So I was in San Francisco. This is like 20 years ago. And I was preparing Thanksgiving with some friends at their house and accidentally cut my hand pretty badly. I was sober. I wasn't drinking, but, you know, just when I was laughing and talking. I was drunk on laughter, talking to people and not
looking at what I was doing. Did it ruin the turkey?
Nah. These were not vegetarians. They just
added a little bonus protein.
Added flavor, man. Yeah. So I went to the hospital, took a bus, like wrapped my hand in a t-shirt, took a bus to the hospital because, you know, punk rock. And, I got there. I did.
First, you had to set up a GoFundMe. Then you had to raise the money for her bus fare.
I had to go fight myself at the hospital. So I go to the hospital. And it's like, you know, it's like 1 p.m. And I get in there, and there's like nobody in there. And they see me and like fix me up and, you know, give me a couple stitches and like 5 stitches and discharge me all within like 2 hours, which is an extraordinarily short amount of time to be treated for, you know, and get stitches and be out of a hospital. And when the guy stitched me up, I was like, man, this would be packed. It's a holiday. You know, there's people from out of town. Why is it so empty? And he's like, oh, it's like this every Thanksgiving, not just here, like every hospital I've ever worked at. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, it's completely empty until like 4 or 5 p.m., 5 or 6 p.m. And then we start getting inundated with drunk
turkey
people
injuries.
With blunt head force trauma. Yeah, like, you know, when brawl. People get together.
The brawl start in about half an hour. Yeah, it's a good thing before the rush.
After the football game and after the turkey. Yeah, when people who should not be in the same room get together once a year and drink and then start talking politics or something. I don't know. Yeah.
And I always enjoy hanging out with my family, even if we're, you know, have a lot of, you know, issues that I'm sure we just don't talk about. Like, for instance, one of my sisters is a government school teacher. Guess what topic we don't talk about?
Government
schooling.
Yeah. Well, as government employees you know, some say they're all evil, but I say that's not as evil as a cop by far. You know, if you take
government money, she believes in, you know, it's like her whole life's invested.
She's training the cops. The future cops of America. Yeah.
You know, but you know, when people are, their lives are immersed in something like government schooling, they, you know,
there's no way out.
You have to believe it. You can't come to the conclusion that you've been actually hurting kids your whole life.
And you'll starve too. Your livelihood's wrapped up in it. You'll starve.
Right.
A lot of people are like that with the military too, you know, they would never badmouth it because everybody, you know, 1% of America are in the military. So, you know, 2 out of 5 people probably have a family member in the military or something like that. So, you know, they can't think of those people as doing ill.
Right. And then add the postal employees and the, you know, and all the other government FDA employees.
When you add it up, we're all paying 120% tax and 140% of Americans work for the government. Is pretty much what it comes down to in one way or another, I think, right?
Well, it certainly seems that way sometimes, but, you know.
What can we do about it, James? What's the solution?
Use Open Bazaar. Set up an online store behind a secure, encrypted server somewhere. Work for Bitcoin.
AgoristHosting.com. Isn't that it? Agorist.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
You're not really going to be able to sell anything super cool if someone else is hosting
it. They've got rules. Yeah, they got rules.
Right.
You know, you can actually run a server from your home. You know, it's not the smartest thing to necessarily do it.
But, you know, I think that
host a website.
Cool thing about it is you know, it's as secret, it's as safe as you need it to be, whatever that may be.
Well,
you know, just however, what kind of security you put on your own computer is how safe your store is going to be. So,
yeah. Is Nick selling yaks there yet?
Not
we were just talking
yet.
About that. So
yeah, we were.
My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
I'm Michael Dean, talking to James Babb and young Nick Hazelton, the Yak Master. How you guys doing?
Good. Awesome.
Yeah. I don't feel yeah, like reading, it reading it. I don't feel like Dear reading that sweet. Thing I wrote. Your sweet Yak Emperor. So we're just going to talk about good news for the rest of the show, I think. We were going to talk about this. I sent James something about that it's now more legal for people to kill, for the government to kill innocent bystanders with drones. And what did you say, James?
I was like, well, it was already, I thought it was already completely acceptable to do that. So how could it be more acceptable now? Does it become the actual goal?
It's
now
or something.
Yeah. Ooh, that's terrible.
It is.
They used to do that because they did that. They used to pay people for scalps.
Yeah. They used to pay people for nutria rats, too, in Louisiana for a while. It was like 25 cents for every one you shoot. And I asked some guy about that who lived in... I asked some attorney about that in Louisiana. Like, is that... I heard it had gone up to like $2. He's like, if it were $2 per, I would quit being an attorney and just shoot nutria rats all day.
People, and then eventually people start breeding the nutria rats just so they can have more to take
that
in.
Happened.
And
where was that? Rats in China or something? Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be a market response, right?
Yeah. So. Even in
but
a
they used to have,
country.
There was a place here in Pennsylvania where they used to, they would pay you to shoot hawks in this mountain where they would migrate through. And they're like, okay, there's hawks coming through. Better shoot them. Get your gun, you know. Because, I don't know, they eat your chickens or something. So,
yeah.
But it became, in the 30s, it was purchased by a woman, raised the money to buy up this whole area, and it's still a preserve now where you can go to watch the hawks migrate through instead of go to shoot them. So,
well, was it Long Island? It was somewhere in New York State that banned hunting deers and ended up with so many deer, it was like eating everyone's lawn. So they paid government snipers to go out and government hunters to go kill the deer. But they, you know, didn't let anyone eat them. They threw them in a trash heap somewhere. So
right, and the government hunters accidentally like shot several town folk. But
probably, yeah,
this is considered now. It's acceptable to have these civilian casualties.
Yeah,
on the war on deer. So,
so that's our horribleness is letting you know that your government thinks it's okay to kill more people, innocent people. But
I don't even understand how that could even be news, right? I guess it is some
well,
ratcheting
times,
it out.
A lot of times the government does things that are legally very questionable, and then somebody notices, so they pass a law making it legal. I think that's what happened.
Like waterboarding or, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, like that thing in the Guns and Weed movie, that little animation that my friend George Earth from San Francisco made. He was in a world beat band called World Entertainment War. Did you ever run across them, James?
Never heard of them. No.
They were big in Frisco back in the day, but he made a little animation about voting. And it's like a kid asking his dad, "Dad, what's a presidential election?" And the dad says, "Well, son, every 4 years, the robots get together and convince themselves that they have choice. Oh, so it's a game? Yes, like Monopoly or waterboarding. All right, so James has some really good, and that was my bit of YouTube on the radio. You said earlier that the Freedom Fiends are like Facebook on the radio. Yeah, but sometimes we're like YouTube on the radio too, where I just tell you something.
Part of Facebook is clicking on a YouTube now and then.
Yeah,
we do live trolling. We do live memes. We do. Yeah, we do gossipy, stupid stuff.
And we talked about this new business that James and I are starting called Kick Ass Starter, where you get money to travel to people that you get in fights with on the internet. When you both agree, like, yeah, I'll kick your butt right now, and you're 2,000 miles apart, and one of them is a socialist, so he doesn't have any money, you can raise money for him to get a bus ticket to come fight you. But there's going to be a sister side of it. It's going to be called GoFightMe.com, and it's in conjunction with the Rumbler app. What is the Rumbler app for people who missed that, James?
It's kind of like Tumblr, I guess, which I don't use, but where you like swipe left if you're interested or right if you're not, and you're able to kind of scroll through people. And I don't think Nick's not on, are you accusing Nick of being on Tumblr?
No, I think he's on farmersonly.com. Have you seen that one?
Oh, okay.
That dating site for rednecks?
I have not seen it, but I've heard of
Yak. YakFarmerDate.com.
YakFarmerDate.com. There's six of them in America. All right. So you got some good news, though, here, James. What is it?
Well, you know, the story I read is from the Edmonton Sun. Okay. So I guess they're Canadians, but they have cops there, too. Phone cameras everywhere stressing out police.
Aww.
says the Edmonton chief. Okay.
Aww.
And evidently they're really concerned that he says that continuous accountability, continuously being in the public eye, and that having to be infallible, it puts a lot of pressure on our police officers and contributes to their mental health. Okay.
Aww,
so well, this is where they're going. Okay. So now this pressure of being on camera is going to turn into workers' compensation claims for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. For instance, if you have a local cop block chapter, okay, you can now just say, I'm going to go ahead and take the workman's comp out.
Wow.
I just say, it's amazing. But it says he's complaining in this article. It says statistically about 56 Edmonton police officers could be experiencing PTSD. Yet each year, the force has had just a handful of workers' compensation claims for the condition each year. So he's saying, look, I'm guessing we have about 56 cases here, but we only get a couple. So we're going to work on that.
Can I say pussycats on the radio? Those cops are pussycats, man.
I just think it's like your heart just breaks for these guys.
No,
you know, like, oh, it's so tough. Somebody might have a camera. You can't just hit people with billy clubs anymore.
Staple hand to forehead. Oh my. Ooh, lottie poo. Yeah.
My favorite quote from that article was from I think it's the police chief.
Police Cheech
and Chong. I was trying to think of Netch.
Speak up, Nick. Use your big name. Voice.
Sorry. All right. But he says, police always want to do the right thing, but circumstances don't always allow us. Confrontation is a difficult situation. That was my favorite.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, what if that was what you explained to the judge? Okay, like when you're on trial, and if you use that, they said, "Look, you know,
confrontation is a difficult situation.
It's a difficult situation. Hey, you know, sure, we almost always do the right thing, but sometimes it doesn't work out. Wink, wink, judge. You know. Oh man.
Yeah.
Last week, when an Edmonton officer was getting beaten up by an assailant, several people stopped to record the struggle on their phones. Why am I laughing at this? You know, I don't know. What are they expecting? You know, you occupy a community, and yeah, they're not going to like you.
Cops really hate cell phones. A lot of them would love it to be illegal to film a cop, and I think it is a couple states, isn't it, James?
Mm-hmm.
Nick, do you know?
I forget how that works. You know, I had a cop in New Jersey snatch the camera out of my hand, and I just reflexively just snatched it back just quick enough to be able to keep my phone. But I was like, get away from me.
That's going to be as illegal as putting the tape over your laptop phone pretty soon, or your laptop camera, so they can't spy on you.
Well, I wonder how long it'll be before you're just required. I mean, you already hear stories about them, like, you know, like hand over your phone, you know, your ID and your phone, or like.
Well, Michigan was like copying the contents of people's phones for a while too. And, you know, that's kind of really approaching literally on the plot of 1984, because in there, there's these things called telescreens. For anyone who hasn't read that book, they're like TVs that are in your home that are on all the time, but they also like watch and listen to you, and they broadcast propaganda 24/7. And you can turn them down, but you're not allowed to turn them off. I think we're headed there. I think we're headed also to where there are so many new nanny laws that there's just going to be like a stock ticker on your phone as they write new laws, just post it. And it won't even be the text of the laws. It'll just be the titles of the new laws as they post them on a stock ticker on your phone that you're legally required to have. And then they can say, well, you know, this was sent to your phone. You can't be ignorant of this law. You need to know about this. You're guilty.
It seems like a lot of trouble on their part when they can just say you didn't move to Somalia, so you consented.
Well, that's the other thing, too. I mean, this is something that everyone who listens to this show on Internet probably knows about, but not everyone on radio probably knows about, too. It's like, think about the fact that they're charging people now a lot of money to leave America and give up their citizenship and move to another country permanently. So the same people, and people get upset about this and say you're being a bad American. These are the same people that tell you, if you don't love America, get out. When you go to get out, then if you don't want to pay all the money, they're mad too. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
Well, the funny thing is, even if you leave for Somalia for at least 10 years, Uncle Sam is still going to claim you as tax cattle. Like,
still be
and then
your colon and, in your colon. Hashtag.
And even then, if at any point they just say, you know what, we think you left the country to avoid paying us taxes, therefore you still owe us. So they can always just make these decrees that somebody owes them money, but it gets a little harder to enforce when you're living in Somalia, I guess.
Maybe, yeah. Is there anywhere that has no extradition anymore? I don't even know if there is. I think they've closed all those. I know they've closed the Swiss bank account.
That would be awful. I mean, I used to keep a quick reference guy just in case I had to, you know, flee suddenly.
To get out.
I was looking at Croatia because it's like Mediterranean. It's got a coast. Yeah. It's, you know,
there's a
Dalmatian
fiend
coast
too. The girl that's on the Fiend buttons, Iva, good friend of the Fiend. She lives in Croatia.
Yep. You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin.
Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Well, let's take it one step at a time. Hey, did you see that thing with Hillary Clinton, like saying she had hot sauce in her purse? Like, what kind of, what a scripted load of garbage that was. But it seemed to have it seemed to be propelling her to victory, right? Is that, did I read that right?
I think so. I watched the clip of it. I was considering to watch the whole interview, but I just thought that was so funny. I could not believe she said that. Like, you know, like hot sauce.
Somebody told her that'll go over great on this show. You know, people. Yeah, I don't know. I think most people saw right through it, but I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, it was kind of bizarre because it, because that show, I watched that show every once in a while. It's focused on hip hop interviews, and of course they have some African American black people there, right? So that's what made me think, oh man, like, did she really just say that? Because that's a racist sort of thing.
So it's so racist and pandering. I mean, wow,
it's just bizarre. I could not believe that somebody would say something like that. But I guess she has the audacity to do it.
And I'm sure that they had focus. They probably had focus groups, you know. And I'm sure it was studied carefully before the script writers came up with that. Yeah, you know, before it probably had to be signed off at Goldman Sachs and everything.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. A couple princes from Saudi Arabia had to sign off, and you know, then it was a go. It's a go. Yeah, Operation Hot Sauce in the purse. This is gonna turn the tide against Bernie once and for all. Well, that's what politics is, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. But so did you, I sent you this link about this Lavender Amendment. Did you get a chance to catch this story, which I thought was pretty hilarious? Lavender Gun Amendment, which is named in Missouri. There's the state rep, Deb Lavender, this Democrat. Evidently, she put an amendment in a bill that she thought was going to, you know, this amendment was going to make it legal to open carry in the state house. Okay. So she was like, oh yeah, you want guns legal? I'm going to make them legal even in here, you know? And they're like, you're not gonna, like, I'm gonna. And she did it. And then they didn't have time to remove it, and it passed. So she ended up strengthening people's right of self-defense within the Capitol. So I thought that was kind of amusing. What did you think about that, Nick?
Yeah, I thought that was absolutely hilarious. I think that's just awesome that somebody would try to do that. And I'm reading it, and somebody said that, I think Lavender was about to withdraw the amendment during her closing argument when she talked her way through the one-minute limit for her closing speech, and the speaker slammed the gavel and opened the board for her amendment to be voted on.
Boom!
She talked too long. She had, like, decided to cut down her closing argument 30 seconds. She would have not have passed it, but
timing is everything. Great. You know, you're going to play these stupid games. You know, you better be ready to handle it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a shame we don't have Randy England, our Missourian, to shed some light on this woman. You know, I mean, she's a Democratic politician, so guess we can make certain assumptions about her, but evidently she's going to be tough for her to live that one down with her Democratic friends. But I wonder if do you think they will actually be open carrying now in the state house? I mean,
I hope so. I would.
What's the worst that could happen? Right? What's the worst that could happen?
They can't do anything. It's legal now.
Yeah. So yeah.
What are they going to do? Yeah, that's just one of those instances of government making a fool of itself, right? These people, they're just not very smart, it seems. But I mean, I can understand the mistake. I've talked over my limits in debates and whatnot, but yeah,
look at the way we look at the way we talk right over the commercial breaks here right. during the show.
We do it all the time, right? But we right. don't have any authority or power, so I suppose that's a really good thing.
Morons. All right, I'm gonna take a trip to the market. Gotta raise money for some ISIS beer funds.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
All right, back with more Freedom Fiends, Jim Babb, Nick Hazelton. Mm-hmm. All right, how's it going, Nick?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jim?
Awesome. I think, you know, the drone took out Steve Miller and Jeremy tonight, so.
Yeah.
We're down to a half squirm of worms, but.
Yeah, we started out with five, right?
We started out with a hyper squirm and ended up with a half squirm. Anyway.
Wow.
Anyway, it's better to give you a chance anyway, because, you know, you talk so much, Nick. You know, you're always jumping in, talking over people.
I don't know why, but I don't like to talk when there's so many people. I'm introverted, so I have to try to feel the space where I'm like, okay, now I can talk. I don't know why on like a squirm when we have everybody on, I just don't feel the need to talk at all. So I let you all talk, and it's still fun to be on with you. And I'm not upset over it.
But, all right, cool.
Yeah.
So right before the break, I mentioned this ISIS beer funds. Okay. Now, evidently, you can get into trouble if you include in your memo, if you're sending money to somebody, the words ISIS beer funds. Evidently, somebody was using this payment service, Venmo or Venmo. Have you ever heard of this thing, Nick?
I have heard of Venmo, but I don't know exactly what
it is. Is it like a PayPal kind of thing? I don't know what it is.
I think so.
So anyway, so somebody's using it to send money to their friend, and they wrote in ISIS beer funds. Okay, so of course the feds have detained $42. Now, you know, and they get this note that's like, oh, you know, not only was it like they couldn't even get the $42 back, like they were just, it's gone. So they're like, you said ISIS.
Oh my gosh.
So just as a tip, you know, when you're sending ISIS beer funds, please use Bitcoin. Okay, just avoid this. This is a total rookie mistake here. So I think there's a little lesson in there.
Yeah, definitely. That's $42. What is the FBI going to do with $42?
Just throw it on the pile with all of Ross Ulbricht's Bitcoin. I don't know.
Maybe they'll use it to actually buy some beer. That's probably what they're doing. They're confiscating it so they can have their own beer fund.
I don't know. It just seems...
That's so trivial.
They says due to OFAC regulations, OFAC regulations. What is that?
What? Yeah.
Office of Foreign Assets Control. great. That's when you don't hear all the time. The Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control. So, I mean, that is really where the power is, isn't it? When they can just seize the assets of foreign people, right? Wow.
Wow.
President Harry Truman used it to block transfers destined to North Korea and China. So, it's always about the capital controls, isn't it? They're like, they're almost like, you know, they really don't care about open borders if they can keep your money where they want it.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting how they just come up with these ideas for government agencies. I would challenge to say that there's nobody could name all of the federal agencies. And I bet it's
Nor would you want to try.
I'm
rest assured that they're all essential.
Yeah, I can't wait for the day when there's so many that they have to repeat letters. Because eventually, you know, they're gonna run out of new acronyms, right?
Well, they could come up with a new department that could assign a whole new system of acronyms.
There you go. They'll have specialized bureaucrats for that.
Right. But, wow. You know, I'm just picturing how these guys operate, this Office of Foreign Assets Control. Then they're like, okay, guys, we need to really be careful about money going to ISIS. Okay, let's hear your ideas. Okay, you, go. What do you got? I think we should search for keyword ISIS on PayPal transactions. Like, bingo. Okay. Off to the golf course. Mission accomplished, you know. And then this guy probably showed up in their report, and they're like, "Way to go! Well, you know, well done, man. We got one. You know,
yeah.
ISIS. We stopped a fund transfer that was destined for ISIS. Oh,
yeah, that's classic FBI. But that's not the FBI. I guess that was the Treasury. Or the Office of, what was it? Office of Foreign?
It's the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control. Decades old institution, quietly working to keep money out of the hands of America's enemies. Meaning, yeah. Basically just saying, this is our international theft operation.
Yeah.
This is the branch of our gang that we send around the world and use computers to take what we can from people outside the borders.
That's anyway, exactly what it must be.
It now has to deal with tipsy hipsters grasping at wit through instant payment apps. That's what this Ars Technica article says.
Yeah. And then anyway. Later, after that... it says this is hardly the first time Venmo users have gotten in trouble for using ill-advised memos. Last year, a sophomore at Columbia University was arrested for drug dealing after allowing his customers to pay him via the service, each time putting the cutesy euphemisms for the transaction like kale salad and Snoop Dogg shizzle. The description has to be funny, he reportedly told customers. Wow. How did they catch that? That's beyond that's a little bit clever. Like if the OFAC is, well, it's probably not them going after these people, but like to actually pick up on the tight, like the whatever the transaction is called, to really think that those two, like, I mean, you would kind of guess, like, yeah, okay, that they're dealing weed, but.
Well, and it, you know, you never. Sometimes you don't know what was the sort of the trigger, and then what was just like stuff they piled on. I attended the trial of Larkin Rose, and I don't remember how many years ago this was, like now 8 or 10 years ago, and they presented evidence on a big screen to the jury of his tax payment checks where he had written in the memo like federal extortion payment. Okay. And now this is like up on the monitor for the jury to see.
That's
see, he doesn't even respect the system, you know, like he's and at one point this prosecutor just yells at the jury, goes, he's an anarchist. I mean, incredible. But like, yeah, these little memos, it can be used as part of the case against you. So yeah, make it good. All right. And seriously, if you're sending beer money to ISIS, which is kind of strange because I thought ISIS is supposed to be, aren't they supposed to be Muslims that wouldn't drink beer? So I don't even understand. Yeah. But seriously, use Bitcoin. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Get it together. Why? This is why we have cryptocurrencies, people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't even have to use transaction names. Dude, I don't think I've ever exchanged Bitcoin, but every Bitcoin I've received did not come with a title.
And you know, and you can even, if you needed to, you can put little like memos somewhere in there. Maybe that's just for like the blockchain app or something. But anyway, the point is, it's much better to use if you want to be discreet. And I'm sure it sounded really convenient and cute to make Snoop Dogg references in your online payment app. I wonder, it's keyed on the ISIL suffix. Like, so anytime you're... you include that, that's going to send a certain flag at the treasury. Yeah. A light's going to go off. Yeah.
Yeah, they have some anyway. Sort of...
Do you know this rapper, Rick Ross? Do you know who this guy is?
You're
young and hip, right?
He's actually not making many songs anymore, as far as I know. I think I know who this is, but I don't think I've ever really listened to them.
Well, evidently, I'm reading this story. He visited the White House as an ambassador for President Obama's Black and Latino Youth Program. Okay. When his court-ordered ankle monitor reportedly went off shortly after the president concluded a speech. Okay. So... This guy's known as the Hood Billionaire rapper, okay? And they had a bunch of other artists, Alicia Keys and Nicki Minaj and, you know, Busta Rhymes. Anyways, this sounds like an awesome party, right? Probably the coolest gathering the White House has ever seen. But anyway, so this group met with the president to discuss the administration's, this is the name of the initiative, My Brother's Keeper Initiative. Okay, like seriously, when the ruler of the country is talking about being my brother's keeper, that's creepy, right? So anyway, it focuses on empowering Black and Latino youth. So naturally, you know, we're going to want Rick Ross. He was arrested in June on kidnapping, aggravated assault, and aggravated battery charges after allegedly pistol whipping a man who had been doing repair work on his house. Okay.
Hey, you know, Rick Ross is the guy who stole that. He stole his name from Freeway Rick Ross, the guy who's famous for selling crack.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, he's people rag on the rapper Rick Ross for that because he's posing. But I have no idea how the rapper Rick Ross came to get his name.
I don't know how that is. If he's just maybe it's an homage to a great. I don't know. Anyway, but this I think the creepy part of this story is this My Brother's Keeper initiative.
Yeah.
featuring ankle bracelets. Like was it like was it like a runway? You know, like here's our runway model. You know, here's our 2016 ankle bracelet. Features remote shock control, GPS tracking. I don't know.
Ankle bracelets and hip hop in the market. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Right, bring us back, Nick.
We are are back. It's the final segment of the Freedom Fiends. We have me, Nick Hazelton, and James Babb. We're here bringing some redemption in the third act. Before we leave you guys for the night, this last story we have is from Raw Story. I guess this is from a couple of years ago. 2 years ago,
yeah,
today.
because Freedom Fiends is sort of like now Facebook spilling over. Facebook has these like 2 year memories, and this was like 2 years ago today. The story came up, and I just thought it was so memorable that I thought it was worth repeating because it's just so interesting. Why don't you tell us what it is?
Yeah, so I guess there's this I don't want to call him an anti-cop blogger, but which I think the article says later on. I barely skimmed through there, but it's a story about this I guess it's a former police chief from reading this, a former police officer came and lit a fire to this guy's hot dog cart. And I guess this guy was a blogger who has exposed some police brutality. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. So he's like maybe we should start with this headline, because this headline is just, it's almost a punchline in itself. Arkansas ex-cop killed while trying to set anti-corruption blogger's hot dog cart on fire. Okay. That's what caught my eye as it came across. That's basically the gist of it. This guy looks at, finds his hot dog cart on fire. He runs out with his like fire extinguisher. He's like putting out the fire. Then he noticed this guy hanging around, and he recognized him as Creepy Todd Payne, who was fired from the force in 2010 for multiple violations, including a DUI crash where he left the scene, incidences of witness intimidation, lying to superiors, dereliction of duty. Anyway, so he had the nickname Creepy Todd when he was a cop. Okay, so interesting. So the guy sees him. He's like, "Oh, I'm going to tackle him." He tries to apprehend the arsonist, Creepy Todd. He goes face down in the pavement and dies trying to escape from his arson, attempted hot dog stand arson. It's like, I don't know. Not exactly good news, but I don't know. Does it kind of seem like sometimes the universe throws you a bone? Is it karma? What is that?
I guess. I mean, yeah, it's some of those times where well, the guy kind of deserved that. I mean, I hate to see anybody die, but when you're lighting people's hot dog stands on fire, I mean, that's
Creepy Todd, the former corrupt cop turned petty arsonist. Come on. I mean, let's just say justice seems to have been served.
Uh-huh.
And this town in Arkansas, I'm sure, is better off. So, hey. Little justice never hurts. So I'm gonna call that at least good news for people that, could have ended up being this guy's victims in the future. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to check out this guy's blog. Corruption Sucks blog is what it looks like it is.
What's the name of the blog?
Corruption Sucks. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I dig that. I'll have to see what this guy's about. I find it interesting that the former cop went after this guy, though. I wonder why. Maybe he must have just. Maybe he was. He was probably exposed by that guy. That's going to be my.
He had. Well, it said he had written extensively about him at Corruption Sucks.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Oops.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know what? Maybe he was the one that coined the term "Creepy Todd," and it just stuck. Yeah. But it, like, they did it in junior high school, and he finally got a chance to pay him back. You know. I don't know. Small town stuff.
Sure.
Adios, Creepy Todd. Anyway, that's great being on The Fiends with you, Nick.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Even though we lost a couple people by drone.
Looking forward to having you around the Babb compound at Fiend Fest Somalia this summer.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be on your campsite.
Otherwise known as in the vicinity of Porkfest.
Yeah, that's right. Worms.
Worms.